Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
I was just exhaling. Welcome. I'm glad you're with Vibrant Living, the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks.
Thank you.
I had two thoughts at once. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're deeply welcome. Let me do this. Let me introduce the Vibrant Living team. I wanted to talk about Sherry Marquez as the dog mystic, but I wanted to tell her story a little bit today because I wanted to share with you guys how to let your vibrant story unfold and bring it into the world. First, General Gail Randall. She found herself as a 3-year-old communing with the horses several miles from where she grew up. She had a relationship with the invisible world as a young girl, and she decided at some point to be a professor at UCLA. She had the two parts of the brain. She has the yielding, intuitive side, and she has the scientific, anthropological side. I met Gail in a miraculous way. We're deep family, and I'm on a tab around. Now she's currently a medical doctor, too, integrating the best of all worlds. The spiritual world, the hidden world, the scientific world, so we could also bring nutrition and wondrous things. And a lot of our relationship is beyond my little mind. I just have a small mind. I have a Glenn Brooks mind. But then the beautiful thing is I have a bigger mind beyond the local mind, as our friend Dr. Larry Dowsey. Welcome, Dr. Gail Randall.
Thank you so much. What an introduction. Well, it's a blessing to know you and to have met you and to continue to work with you and all of our amazing panel, Lisa and Sherry. I'm not sure quite who's with us today, but
that's a really, I feel like we're at a bar mitzvah, but we didn't look at the arrival list yet. So if you go to the front part of the room, Gail, you'll see there's an arrival list of who signed in. Let's look. Yeah.
I hear Lisa's laugh. Hi, Lisa.
You really do. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Welcome, everyone.
Why don't you say hello, Lisa, because Sherry invoked you.
I did. You didn't hear me. I said, mazel tov. Yeah. Thank you.
it was a group invocation for Lisa.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Say something. What would you like to say?
Oh. That's what I said, welcome. You know, we're blessed with a beautiful day here in Pittsburgh. And, you know, you get up every morning and you never know what the day is going to hold, and you welcome it with open arms. And I think, that's the same with this show. I never know what's going to unfold, but it always comes out quite wonderful.
Yeah.
Quite
that's
wonderful.
What's beautiful about it.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
It just unfolds itself. It's unique.
Yeah, grand exploration. Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, so I think, you know, Glenn, when you talk about Dr. Randall and her exploration and tuning in at age 3, and then, you know, Sherry Marquez also as a young child tuning in, you know, it's, I think it's a reminder for all of us never to lose that childlike wonder and, you know, recall when at different points in our lives when we felt so connected to something greater than ourselves, and just breathe that in for a moment and then take a deep exhale and then breathe back that memory and really, you know, reconnect with the wonder that welcomes you into this world.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my thoughts for the day.
That's beautiful. Actually, that's one of the elements that I found in people that have miraculous healings, that they're open to something greater than themselves. Like, they're in that position of childlike innocence. So thank you for reminding us all of that.
Yes.
Welcome.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very much so. Very much so. So our beloved host, Glenn Brooks, celebrated another entry day that long ago, whether you know. So in celebration of you, Glenn, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Happy
first birthday.
I just figured out Sherry sent me an animated character sing me a birthday song on my text, and so since I figured out 4 days later that I was supposed to be Sherry, I was sitting with my friend. I said, "Do you think this haircut's like a dreadlight haircut?" And he said, "Yeah." And I was putting it together, and I confirmed it with Sherry. I said, "Sherry, the girl reminds me so much of you. Is it you in the animation?" So I was like a detective, and a big case came to conclusion talking to Sherry earlier that in fact this is an app where I guess you could have an animation of you singing birthday. I know the audio didn't come through, Sherry. I meant to tell you. I just enjoy watching it so much, but the audio hasn't come through yet. I thought maybe that was a next year sort of thing, but I see you there, and it's you. You're only maybe a foot and a half tall, though, but I've been really enjoying it.
Thank you. No, I don't know what happened with the audio, and I don't know exactly what the audio was missing, but it was the text that was the important thing.
You know, that was
but that's the amazing thing about technology is you can take a picture of yourself and make it it's an animated emoji that looks exactly like you.
I had no idea. I kept thinking of Sherry. I wonder if Sherry thinks this is like her too. I kept thinking like, oh, what your take is. I thought it was a random some kind of birthday thing, but I kept on looking, thinking, come on, this couldn't be Sherry. This is. But then I got confirmation this morning that indeed this is a Sherry Mojo animation deal.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys a funny story. So I was at Kapalo yesterday. And when I go to Kapalo, so Kapalo is the country's largest yoga and retreat center. And they have an astounding nature forest. And I go in the forest, and then I come back, and I go to Jeremy Smith's kitchen.
Jeremy
just a master. You know, it's funny. I meant to ask Jerry, we're going to include the rock, but yes, Jeremy Rock Smith. Someone said it was Jeremy Smith, but I go there and I sit down at Kapalo, and I'm working on this dimension of vibrant matchmaking. So this is part is called clicking or co-clicking. And this is where couples kind of, there's a click that happens when a couple meet each other, and they usually don't hear it, but I was sort of playing with this listening exercise, and it was funny because I had known this one person at Kapalo. So I've been going to Kapalo for many, many years. And so people go there to have these remarkable experiences. And so if you can imagine sitting in a room, everybody's there to have a remarkable experience. And then sometimes someone just comes out and sits down, and we have these remarkable conversations. So in the other room, I look to speak because they used to go there. So I met many, many people there. And usually the first thing I do is I take a sauna, a cold and a hot tub. And then I always stop. I always finish with a cold tub. And now this year we're going to invite, which is, I'm going to tell you guys, one of our secret speakers, I haven't released this publicly. We're considering inviting to Carnegie Hall this guy, Wynn Haas. He's known as the Iceman. And when his wife committed suicide, he developed these practices of being in ice cold water and ice. And so he's developed these practices. And I thought, when I was at Kapala, I thought, oh, I should invite Wynn. So when I go to Kapala, what I notice is I'm in a field where people go to experience these remarkable, you know, these remarkable practices in dancing. And so I invited Jeremy Rocksmith, and I was in the General Randall's honor. She said Rocksmith so definitively, I got to go with that. So I decided that we need our personal team of chefs. So like when Dr. Randall comes and we do our Healing Beyond Belief, we need someone on the inside. And I think Jerry's going to be on the inside of that. That came with Kapala. So someone sent a note under Jeremy's door. Like yesterday, my new practice every day now is to go to the woods and I lift this rock out in the deep woods. I found a rock and I lift it. And I, you know, it's when you lift a rock, there's all these different dimensions because it's uneven. So I got to kind of balance my body and my legs. And I'm in such a different place this year. And Dr. Randall's in the house. So I want to say what a difference. I really thought I went through this crisis where it's like, you know, when you're in survival, it's hard to, your survival is kind of like you're happy that you can stand up. And now I'm like out of survival. And my teacher said once to me, he says, well, if you can release survival and security, it's a whole new life, right? If you're not reacting and bumping against survival and security. So I had this window open, and now we're going to help people publish their books, their vibrant books, like Sherry Marquez. And we're going to be owning and working with people at Carnegie Hall. And it's sort of unfolded by being in places like Kapala and also Tanglewood. Tanglewood's an outdoor theater. And all kinds of, you know, it's also the home of the Boston Symphony. It's another place I want to bring a retreat to. So I wanted to tell the story today, a little bit more of the story, of Sherry Marquez and the dog mystic. Because I realized what's been happening in my life is that a whole bunch of people are part of this community of people all around the world, that they have things happen around their dogs that have transformed their life, transformed their health. I've had healing with dogs. There was an article in the New York Times about your dog's healer. Magazine did a series, and I thought, you know, there's all these people. First of all, I want to welcome you, Sherry, officially, even though I've gotten so carried away by the animation of Sherry. It's like my favorite cartoon now. So I want to welcome you.
Hello,
today.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can join us today.
Yeah. So yesterday I saw a Malamute Shepherd. That's how I started my day. Malamute Shepherd mix. Okay. Yeah, and there's some breeders out of Pennsylvania. And this guy, he's going to listen in today. I should know his name, but hanging out with him, he had such good energy. Well, you know who you are. We hung out yesterday. I hung out with you and your dog, 3-year-old Malamute German Shepherd mix. So I go to the dog show, then I go into the woods, Jerry. And then things just sort of, well, they come to me in terms of, like, what's the next level of connection? So this is how I work with people. How I work with people is they... So everybody has a counterfeit story, and Lisa was alluding to this. So we have a counterfeit story, which are the habits and thought viruses that you sort of take on. But you, on some level, you know they're not you, but they're common, right? If you talk to people. And then there's another level when you get together and you have this vibrant experience, this vibrancy. And I play with people. I'm also an improv artist, so I sort of play with people. Sometimes I just say things to people because I'm really curious what they're going to say. So I'll say something that's really zany, just how they respond. You know, so like the other day, some people ask me what I do, you know, and I sometimes say, well, I just work with people who want to be able to deliver their message on the stage, on the stage, in a way that's totally different than the scripted message. So it's being a vibrant speaker to unscripted power, the power that moves you. Well, you're incredibly well prepared, but it's totally unscripted. But the other day I said, you know, I'm a full-time divorce exorcist. I like saying unusual things. So someone said, what is it like being a full-time divorce exorcist? And I thought, let me tune into that. I said, well, I help people untangle and purify and get in touch with the original love of their marriage, the original love that emanated them and breathed them and opened them to each other. And someone said, well, that's a worthwhile profession. Actually, this guy said it to me at the library really well. He was a professor. He comes up to me because I said, you know, divorce is like the suicide or the death sentence of a relationship. And he came up and he goes, wow, he goes, that's a pretty heavy-duty statement. I said, well, I study this stuff. And I do find that all the spiritual words are oneness and inclusion and the you know what the perennial, it's called the perennial philosophy, Sherry, the perennial way. According to Houston Smith, he was 100 years old, he studied all the religions, and he came up with this one thing that was consistent in all the religions, like the deepest part of the religion. It's basically oneness, you know, how to be in oneness. So oneness, marrying into oneness together. I knew you would. So this is what I see. I see us now. We have the dog mystic community, right? So these are people who write from around the world and come on here and share their experience, how their dog has transformed their lives. We have a whole bunch of people who have mystical experiences, like the woman in New York. She fell down her staircase, and her lead dog was an Irish wolfhound. She had 27 dogs, including Romeo. Romeo was an amazing dog. I didn't meet Romeo. Romeo was a dog who bit the mailman. She told me that Romeo was the best dog ever, and it wasn't the dog's fault. Maybe that's a new book title. It wasn't the dog's fault. It was how the owner set up the house. The mailman came in, but she said Romeo was amazing. But this wolfhound educated all the other dogs that got on the property. She fell down the staircase and broke her hip. And she said that the wolfhound was there within 60 seconds. He carried her up the stairs. And she told me he's been carrying her and transforming her property since he arrived. This is going to, you know, I want to say, Cheryl, you really moved me. When Dr. Randall told that story, that the three Rottweilers, three healings, that the woman had three different Rottweilers, and each Rottweiler healed a different condition in her life, in her body, in her spirit. I was like, wow, I love that. Somehow when you made that connection, see, that's what it is. We're in one mind, bigger than our local mind, making a new connection together. And when you said that, it just inspired me. So now I want to welcome you guys in the audience. If you have a story or a testimonial about something that happened with your dog, a neighbor's dog, a random dog, you were rescued by a dog, we want to hear those stories. We're going to actually take some of this and put it in the new book. The dog mystic, being in deep tune with your dog and really being in deep tune with life. So, Sherry, we're going to have these other authors on, including Dr. Larry Dossey, who's written Beyond the Local Mind. He's probably one of the foremost medical writers around consciousness, well-being. He did an article that I read a while ago on the danger of gossip. How does gossip play out in our lives? And I read and I thought, God, this is brilliant. And then Norm Shilley wrote an article. So Norm's a neurosurgeon. He's been my mentor and teacher for 28 years. So his article was called, he talked about the malpractice of medical intuitives. Like basically, because someone calls themselves something. So Norm brought forward the work of Caroline Mace, or Mies, the medical intuitive that was probably became the most renowned medical intuitive. But one of the things that Norm said to me was, and in this article, he was saying sometimes people would contact him as medical intuitives. One of them diagnosed Norm with leukemia. And he said, well, you know, we got to look in terms of malpractice. So, one of the things I love about dogs and some people is the pure innocence that puts us back in touch with this nonlinear dimension. So why don't you share with people so this happened as a young girl for you. So the young girl, you really were the dog mystic. Your mom just didn't call you that. What was the first time that I know it was probably pre-verbal, kind of like Gail, like you just sort of had this. Share about that in your dreams and your seeing of animals. Share what it was like to be in a recognition. Did anybody else ever say to you, God, you gotta become a veterinarian? Like, how do they say it to you from the outside, or did they say it to you? In other words, when did you first recognize you were the dog mystic? Was it inwardly or outwardly or both?
Definitely inwardly. I don't think anybody ever verbally said, like, oh my gosh, you should be a veterinarian or you should be work with animals. It was just the inward knowingness of the joy that the animals brought. You know, and just being around the animals and the peace and calmness that I felt. It was a knowing that I felt from early, early, early age. I mean, you know, ever since I can remember, for sure. And not only that, I mean, like, you know, just the responses of the animals
with me. Because, I mean, like, you know, there's plenty of animals that when a kid walks in the room, they're gone. They're like, oh, no, the kid is going to be bothering me or mean to me or whatever. But you know, it wasn't only dogs. But, I mean, like, you know, the animals were drawn to me and just knew that I wasn't going to hurt them. So they can trust. Just because of their sixth sense of knowing that I was in tune with them. So
you know what I've been noticing, I wanted to share with you, Sherry, was, and Lisa, and Dr. Randall, I watch these videos almost every day. It's called Hope for Paws, out of Los Angeles, and they shoot these rescue videos. And every time a dog gets saved, I swear, I'm almost crying at the end of a video, because the dog life of getting rescued just reminds me of a human life where we get misidentified and we kind of forget what's happening. And then in the videos, it's like what I love about the dogs that touches me every time is they're so receptive to getting rescued. Like, no matter how, like, usually it's 10 seconds. If a dog's going to freak out, it'll freak out. But usually it's like, I don't know, 10 seconds later, it seems they can actually trust a human being again. Every single time, that's just totally – I've been in touch with Hope for Paws, by the way. They have over 4 million viewers. They're on YouTube. And I just – for a $5 donation, you could help these dogs get rescued. And it's it was just striking. So the dogs seem to – as someone who's around dogs regularly, and I know you do the 14-day boot camps and things, do you notice that dogs – have this ability to let humans in their life again, even if they've been abused? Is that something you experience as well?
Well, see, that's the beautiful thing about the rescues is they're so grateful. They're so grateful to be rescued. And even, God bless you, whoever just sneezed. And whoever is, I mean, whatever happens to the dog, and however much abuse or however hurt they are, then they're still able to forgive, just because they're so grateful to be cleaned and being taken care of and feeling the love, you know. And sometimes the whole mission of capturing the dog that needs to be rescued is a mission.
Yeah.
But once, because I'm like, you know, sometimes it's, they have to use a, not a slip collar, but kind of like a special kind of collar where, you know, they're luring the dog with food and then kind of.
Yes.
Put it around their neck and grab it that way. So, yes, of course, it's the fear of having it around their neck. So they're trying to get it off, and while they're twisting and turning and falling and doing whatever and trying, like, just throwing a tantrum because they're petrified. the thing is getting tighter, so there's no way of them running off. But then eventually, it doesn't matter how long. Eventually, they totally submit. They totally submit, calm down, and they just release.
Yeah.
Once they release, even though they are extremely scared, once they see that the person or people are not going to hurt them, then it's that slow progression of trust. And it takes a long time, but just to see the gratefulness once they do start receiving that love is absolutely amazing. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And I sometimes can't watch them, the rescue things, just because they're too emotional. But I mean, I cry over commercials sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
So, anything animal related, I'm like, oh, that's great. I mean, even if it's not sad, it's like I'm crying. I'm like, I don't know why I'm crying. It's just beautiful. I love it.
By the way, Sherry, it's page 424, the specific blessing that you gave it's defined. So you, so someone sneezed and you gave, it's called a group sneeze blessing. When one or more are gathered and someone sneezes, this is the thing to say. It's just to say, we gathered today to bless one of the members of our tribe, our community, who sneezed. May they have a blessed, easy breathing rest of the day. That's the official treatment.
God,
and you said it much simpler, though. That was fine. That was fine. I always think it's interesting. People are really respectful of the whole sneezing thing. You know, you eliminate some mucus and everybody's blessing you. It's sort of an interesting equation. So many other times I think it's appropriate, but how did that, that became like a standard or something, the whole.
It did.
Yeah, it's a standard. So,
letting the toxins come out.
It sounds so serious. It sounds so serious. It sounds so serious. So here I am. I get to produce this thing, and I feel such an infinite connection with you and all the people that are coming out of the woodwork around the dog mystic, being in deep tune with your dog. So I get to introduce you to another author today, along with Dr. Gail Amazing Randall and Lisa in her own right way is a master general dog rescuer, I guess, there in Pittsburgh. I'm sure she's been on the Pittsburgh Star many times with her dogs. I'm making it by newspaper name. So I'm going to introduce you today to.
Thank you.
Is that? I don't know any of the names of newspapers in Pittsburgh though.
No, I'm just teasing you.
No, I like that. No, I like that. 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 So. I want to thank someone, Sherry, because you reminded me, because you gave a group blessing. I want to thank, I guess, Mel Goldberger. I don't know his name, but the first talk I ever gave when I was 18, it was my first professional talk. I gave it at Fannie Schaefer's Vegetarian Farm, where people would come from Florida to upstate New York. And my group was in their 80s to 106. And I told them the story of Dr. Norman Walker, who wrote a book called Become Younger in his 60s. Because in his 50s, he was at a farm and he was watching someone grate vegetables. And he had this notion as a scientist that when you grate vegetables, you should squeeze the juices out of them. And that's what, you know, that whole book was about, was him regenerating his body through juicing. So if you guys, the most expensive, amazing juicer was called the Norwalk, and it's named after him. And I told the story to this group of people before I left the property. But this one guy followed me and he put $10 in my pocket. And he said, keep speaking, the opposite of what my parents said to me. They told me to shut up and get a job. So I kind of went in the direction of Mel Goldberger. So today we're going to have Jeremy on. So how I discovered, and kind of was asking Sherry about that, how I discovered what I was supposed to be doing is that people paid me without me asking them for doing stuff that I didn't consider was something. I like how I said that. They paid me for something that I didn't consider something. But then I realized, oh, like in some sense a mystic. This guy from India said, well, he said the truth is we're all mystics, and some are much more in touch with the fact that they are mystics, right? They're more in touch with the mystical. And I love about Gail is I love the mixing, the blending of the science and the mystic. So any second we're going to have Jeremy on, who's written a book, A Guide to Cuisine, to Heal Your Soul, to Awaken Your Body, to Tune You Up. He's going to be, I know he's going to be a new Vibrant Living team member because I see it. I feel it. When I was listening to my rock yesterday in the woods, he called and I said, Jeremy, I was so excited. So I'm going to introduce, he's going to be, I'm hoping he's a dog lover. I don't know yet, Sherry. You're going to take a risk and find out, I guess. Stay tuned for more Vibrant Living. We're going to have Jeremy Rocksmith on, the executive natural cuisine chef at Kripal, the country's largest yoga and retreat center. And I'm Glenn Brooks, your life precious. Enjoy it. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks with the Vibrant Living Network. It's great being with you guys today. I wanted to tell you guys a story today. But first of all, I want to welcome Jeremy Rocksmith. Jeremy Rocksmith, Jeremy, it's an honor connecting with you. I've been eating your soulful, highly energized food. And I want to say every time I go out to Kapala, whether to meet someone who comes in and meet from across the country or someone who comes to me because they want to write a book, I sit in your dojo, in your sanctuary, and I'm honored to catch up with you. I did have an intuitive moment seeing us working together, which I wanted to share with you in the public now. And I want to introduce you to our Vibrant Living team. We got Sherry Marquez. And I thought to myself, because we're teaching it, we're going to do a weekend in Great Barrington with the dog mystic herself, how to be in deep tune with your dog and your life. And I said, God, I wonder if Jeremy loves dogs. I've been thinking about that the last 24 hours. I want to ask you that. Do you love dogs? Am I putting you on the spot? First of all, welcome, Jeremy.
It's great. Thanks for having me, Glenn. Yeah. I got to be honest. I'm more of a cat man. I got to be honest.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that. I knew that was going to happen.
Not to say that I don't love dogs. Hey, I love hanging out with dogs. It's kind of a grandfather thing, grandparents.
Yeah,
I like playing with dogs and then sending them home. But living with, I can do with a cat.
All right. Okay. That's a one of a kind. I want to Happy New Year. Such an honor catching up with you. I'm feeling such a strong connection to you. I see us doing retreats. I want to welcome you to be a Vibrant Living team member. I want to introduce you to someone who just recently transformed my diet yet again, just when I thought I had a clue. Dr. Gail Randall is a – she is part of our Vibrant Living L.A. team. She's live from L.A. because she likes being live very much, by the way.
Nice.
And she's been a professor. She's been a horse runner when she was 3 years old. She went to visit the horses and took lessons from them on eating and living. She's a medical doctor and an innovator, anthropologist of nutrition. She transformed my diet again, Jeremy. Just when I thought I maybe had a clue, she took me aside and I had to rethink everything. And when I come to Kapala, I was sharing with people, I just love what happens there. And so the other day when I went there and I kind of tuned into you, I was thinking about the notion of clicking. And I also welcome you to another dog lover. I know these people like cats, by the way, Jeremy. I think they're cat people, too. They're kind of upfront dog people.
With a name like Smith, you got to stand out somewhere, Glenn. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I like that. I like that.
The rock makes you stand out. What a name.
Yeah, that was Smith years ago. We had to take
on Bill. I want to introduce you to Gail and Lisa, Lisa has a whole smudging of cats in her, like, 97 dog rescues, though. You know, she has cats in there as well.
Okay, cool.
By the way, I think you should go with Jeremy Rockstar. I think that would make it easier.
Yeah, it's kind of right there. Yeah, it's there. Well, yeah.
All right, you're going to be – I want you to be our official retreat I want everybody to share a food experience. So the first profound food experience I had, I want you all to go around now, the panel. My first profound food experience was meeting George, who became a cantor at the temple. One day we were at the food co-op, and he said his body needed a banana. And I thought, wow, his body just tells him what he needs. I go, this is a really cool diet. So we used to go into the city to pick up organic vegetables. And we went to this one restaurant. It was called the Cauldron. It was an Asian medicinal type restaurant. And when we went in there, I would eat a meal with George, and I loved our conversations. We had amazing conversations, and the Song of Life came through the conversations. And I realized when I would eat there, I felt different emotionally, spiritually, and mentally the next several days. And that was the beginning of a little bit of my journey. It got very confusing after that. Because I remember I went at the peak of my most confusion, I read a book by Pava Arola called Are You Confused? And I thought, I'm massively confused. I read Pavel's book and I got more confused. I want to ask each of you, Jeremy, since you're right here, what's the first food experience that made you feel that food has something to do with soul, well-being, and wonder? Like, what was that? Was that a one-time experience? How did that come into your life?
I mean, I've had multiple times. You know, I think for me, like, the most profound moment I had that kind of kicked me into food was I grew up in a very, you know, American industrial diet, basically. You know, all your canned stuff and things. We didn't cook fish in my house because my father hated fish. And I got a gig working at a restaurant when I was 13. British guys owned it. And it blew my mind, like it was this whole new world of food. And I remember the first night I had, of course, being a British restaurant, they had curry. And I remember having the pompadoms. They would throw them onto the grill, and I'd watch the cook, and they'd blow up, and they'd throw them on the plate. And one night I asked him, like, dude, can I have one of those? And I remember eating it, and it just blew my mind. I was like, oh, my God, this is what food is, you know? So that kind of got me into the food. But I think the other defining moment was right when I was graduating culinary school. And, you know, I was classical French culinary institute, yes. Very fine dining. And I was reading the book by Briette Savarin, you know, The Physiology of Taste. And the opening quote of, tell me what you eat, and I will tell you who you are, changed everything for me. And I remember at that time, I'm like, well, what am I eating right now? And I'm like, a lot of fine dining. I guess I'm fine dining. But what I realized is, you know, it's funny when you said that your diet just changed again. How many iterations of who I am have there been since that moment? And how has my diet changed accordingly? You know, because I think that we're constantly changing ourselves. So our diets change at the same time, you know, for emotional reasons, for physical reasons, whatever it may be, you know. But that, I've always kind of taken that to heart. And then when I got, you know, 15 years later, when I got into doing healthy food and stuff like that, it really hit me. It's like, you know, it's fuel for your system. You're absorbing the prana. You're absorbing all the nutrients, and that's what you become, you know. And it's like anything else. It's media, whatever we ingest, you know. We kind of become. So, yeah, that was my first couple of moments. But there's been many more, you know. So.
Well, I see us doing this YouTube live show and reaching our 200,000 people, 400,000 people with the magazine. I'm just so wildly enthusiastic because I've had all my meetings at Kripalu over the last 30 years have always involved going to the dining hall and sitting down and I made a very profound, I felt was sort of a profound comment at the Ayurvedic bar. I think I told you, I told someone, I just love and revere this. There's a woman who's been serving the community for so many years at Kripalu. And I said, you know, I think she's amazing. I just love her. And it was always funny. The guy said, what? And I said it again. And he goes, oh, you should definitely tell her. And I thought, well, all this could happen in the, this has to happen in the kitchen because, you know, I'm digesting and integrating. And no, so Sherry, you're very in tune with dogs and the animal world. And you, by the way, you were telling me recently you've been doing intermittent fasting. So diet, in this world, everybody now is on some level realizes that diet actually, most people I speak to realize that diet's, it impacts food and mood, right? We have food and mood. We have food and spiritual awakening. We have food and community. And I think we sit down with other people. We have food and respiration. You talked about, Sherry, about, well, you know, you brought, we did a segment about dogs and eating a few weeks ago with Sherry, Jeremy. And it was like, oh, yeah, a lot of dogs, they overeat. It's too quick. And I thought, what would happen? Sherry said, what would happen if you sat down with your dog? And I felt so good about that somehow. Like communing with your dog when they're eating. It seemed like an interesting idea. Yeah. What was your first food experience? Yeah, man, I think it would make sense to you.
So I love what Jeremy says because what food does, I mean, you are what you eat, but we know now, just from a scientific point of view, is your food changes your genes. So food truly is medicine, and then it's spiritual too. So the act of taking in food that tastes good and stimulates your sensuality at the same time as, you know, what you eat is changing your actual literal genetics. So, thanks, Jeremy, for making it so palatable.
Yeah, no problem.
I think, you know, I love that, you know, what you eat defines who you are. I think that could be a really good unscripted game. glad for part of you.
I love it.
And get people up on stage and, you know, or either have it be like a you know, a charades game, like, okay, who is this person and what is it say about them?
Right.
You know, so, it's so, so true. I mean, so many people have gotten so far away from what food really is, you know, being chemicalized or, you know, GMO'd or whatever. And, you know, I always maintain, if your grandmother didn't recognize it as food, please don't put it in your mouth.
Vibrant cooking and vibrant eating. I mean, it's vibrant eating. It's all part of it.
But I know Dr. Randall, you do a whole series of wonderful juices and tonics and things that people can come, and I think that's a wonderful service to your patients.
I even put recipes on my Instagram and put, you know, facts about food and how it can change your genes and make you healthier. But I'm all about taste. I'm a foodie, you know, but
heck,
I also want it to be healthy.
Right.
So, when you go to Capallo, I want to ask Jerry about this. So when you go to Capallo, you get the first food. Well, is the soup of the day.
Yep.
So, what about the sequence of food? I read, like, Pavarotti used to say, you know, have your salad at the end of the meal. What unfolded in terms of how you lay out the food at the wonderful dining hall? Like, how did you come up with?
So there's philosophy and space. It's a combination of things. So we're on point. We'll do we're close to 392,000 meals out of Capallo this year is what we did. That translates to 16,000 gallons of kale, 4,500 pounds of stewed prunes. I mean, it's insane how much we do. So we've got mad volume. We have a lot of people coming in. We'll do 650 at a meal. So how we set up that dining room, we need flow. So one of the things is obviously we're very veg-driven. So the beginning is always like your soup. And, yeah, I'm a big fan of the salad afterwards. That's my old school French training. But a lot of people just go for the salad, and they just want to eat it, you know. So, like, the idea was that we put it right up front. We want all the vegetables up front, basically. And then you move into that hot side, and we have two lines. One hot side is for proteins if we have them. The other one's vegetarian. But then you move through it, and if there is a protein, it's at the very end. So that's kind of where we're looking at it, you know. And then we divide it up. I look at the food here as – we've got so many different people coming through, so many different individuals that we want to be as inclusive as possible. So I could have someone coming and doing a running retreat or someone just meditating for the weekend. They're going to eat differently, you know. So what I don't want to do is scare people away. So when we're planning menus, you know, on Friday nights when people arrive, the worst thing I could do is slap down a vegan gluten-free menu because people are already like, I'm coming to a retreat center that I don't understand. I'm already freaked out. Now they're going to hit me with foreign food. You know, it's the last thing. They're going to make me drink Kool-Aid and, you know, whatever, we're done. So I hit them with comfort food, you know. You know, I hit them with comfort food, and then they get into their program at night. They get comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then what's unique about Capallo is we do a silent breakfast, right, so that it allows people to think about what they're eating. And somehow they can survive that. They get to their program in the morning. Then they're opened up. And then by lunch, that's when I throw down that vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free meal because they're open at that point. And so, again, trying to be inclusive. And that's one of the things I found here is I get a lot of people with dietary issues that are telling me they're like,
yes,
I haven't been able to travel or eat anywhere, but I can eat here because we label all of our ingredients. Everything's there. Everyone can kind of navigate it. So, you know, we've got our main line that's got our comfort. We've got the Buddha bar, which is ayurvedically a macrobiotic inspired, gluten-free, nightshades, et cetera. That's for allergies or people just trying to do simple resets. And then we've got the panini bar, the sandwich bar. And for me, you know what that is? It's work, man. Like, I always joke that there's the joy programs where people are just stoked.
Yes.
So they're like, I'm going to be gluten-free vegan for the weekend, and they can try it and see if they like it. And then when they get a headache Tuesdays in, they can bail, whatever. But then there's people that do like yoga for trauma, and they're really having a heavy morning. That's where peanut butter and jelly comes in. That's where tuna salad comes in, things like that. Because there's we eat for comfort, you know what I mean? I look at the food here as supporting the folks in the work that they're doing on themselves, and that's all it is, you know, at this point.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to ask Jeremy.
I like the explanation.
By the way, I wanted to ask you. So I vision you being our chef for our intuitive, our dog mystic weekend in the Berkshires with Cherry.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely. Obviously, it's a no brainer. So I vision. So what would you serve for a group of people coming regionally and nationally for a weekend, all about being in touch with the mystical side of your relationship to your dog, healing, wonder, dog medicine? When you see a group coming to Kapala, does ideas come to you about how you want to feed the people with a certain focus, like the Dog Mystic Weekend?
Dog Mystic Weekend. If we're just going to serve everything in big bowls and we're going to eat on the floor, and that's just pretty much where I got with that one. So that's
obviously
as far as I got with that so far. Right? How do you guys just give me the name spelling so I can get our names on those bowls before we get in? But I do. I look at a group and what they're doing. So you're coming for the weekend.
Yeah.
We're probably definitely we're going to be making some doggy treats for you, which we've never done before.
Whoa.
But we'll do it for you.
Okay. See that, Terry?
Yeah,
all natural doggy treats, which taste good and have plenty of peanut butter and oats and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, I was at a store the other day, and honestly, the dog biscuits looked better than the food that they had in the case. Like, they looked more intriguing to me at a certain point. And I was like, wow. I'm like, when did dog biscuits become so high-end? So, in general, that's what we look at the food here is, like, it's hard because I get so many programs, you know, but that's the thing. That's, you know, it's like I'll have programs come in, and they'll say, no one should eat kale. And I don't know that. So you get 300 people not eating kale. Like, why is there kale everywhere? Freaking out. So that's more of what I have to look at is what are people saying they shouldn't eat before they come here? You know what I mean? So, but yeah, no, we try to offer variety. If you go into our dining room, there's probably about 85 individual items in there to choose from at any meal.
Well,
and the idea of that is you can miss and match to figure out exactly what you need. And we're usually pretty good. Except dog biscuits. Don't have that yet, but we'll have them.
No, and then you accommodate your fasting groups and your liquid diets,
detoxers.
Like your detoxers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then there's some people, that folks that are coming in dietary that, you know, I can't even accommodate on the line, and we'll do, even though we're doing the 600, we'll do a special meal for them. We'll accommodate them in and do something and back. And, you know, I had a woman a few weeks ago, last year, I walked out and she was in tears talking to my chef. And she's like, I haven't traveled in 7 years, and this is the first trip I've taken. Thank you so much. You know, and to me, that's for the food to stop people from coming in here to do the personal work that they need to do is just it can't happen. You know, so we try to get them in as much as possible. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So, since you're on board for all our weekends now forever, Jeremy, I'm just honored. I look forward to seeing you in person.
I'm going to have to get a dog at some point.
Yeah, I think so. Sherry will ship you a dog. You'll need to give her your address, and the dog will have a cat-like feature.
Perfect.
Yeah, with
perfect.
Cat quality.
It's,
yeah.
it's a time thing. So, I mean, like, you know, the having a cat is so – they're so independent, and they're so much easier than having dogs. So when you're a chef and you're in the restaurant business, I mean, you know, dogs are like children. So they are.
And I've got three kids, so it's just like
wow.
The kids are like, let's get it. I'm like, I don't know if I can add that on there yet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you. I'll tell you a little secret. So I had this. Yeah, it's a pretty famous model. She called me up. She's a famous vegan author too. So I was doing a series with Dr. Nick Gonzalez out of New York City, a pretty renowned nutritional oncologist. And she told me that when she went to see Nick, he had her eating raw meat, raw pasteurized meat. And she told me she never felt better, but was incredibly embarrassed.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, it was interesting. We did some research, and we found that the highest number of people eating buffalo, bison, are former vegan women. What have you been discovering in your world? What have you been discovering?
Well, that's interesting because when my partner, when we had my son, when my wife, she had been vegetarian, predominantly vegan most of her life, and then when she was pregnant, she craved, guess what she ate the whole time? Buffalo.
Bison.
That's interesting. You said bison.
Right.
That's what she ended up eating the whole time. So I haven't seen a lot. It's like I get a lot more of like there's a lot more vegan butts that I get, you know, like I'm a vegan, yes, but I eat bacon once in a while, and I'm like, you're not really a vegan, you know, like, what did I have recently? Someone told me, what are these?
Not 100%.
He said, no, he's right, not a vegan. I said, are you a vegan? And he goes, yeah, except when I travel. I'm like, so you're a stationary vegan is what I'm hearing. That's exactly what I'm hearing. So, you know, I think with the vegan lifestyle, what's happening now is more and more people are pushing into, which is great. You know, I think more and more people are striving to try and be vegan, which I think is a big step for some. So what they're doing is they're kind of meeting it halfway. You know what I mean? And they do the, I'm the vegan butts. I'm a vegan, but I eat fish once in a while. And I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, you're more of a, I would say it's more flexitarian is what I'm seeing than anything else.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say, I met Dr. Dean Ornish many years ago, and you know, I see he flexed, and then I met Dr. Gail Randall, our in-house general of longevity and nutritional genius, and she pushed me again towards being a vegan. And I realized in recent years I'm meeting all these people now that are, you know, going back to, in some sense, there's a certain number of people that are going towards meats, but very clean meats. And you kept saying vegan butts, by the way. You were saying, I kept thinking these people are showing you their butts. It took me a second to make the transition. So, yeah, what would you want to say about it? You're an advocate. You're kind of an advocate, I'd say, for the vegan diet. Would you say that? What would you say?
Well,
I was just asking Gail if she was, she goes to all these conferences on the brain and diet, and
right.
You know what I mean? So I was just curious to see what are they saying at the conferences as you go around the world, you travel these conferences, what are they saying that you want to share with the audience in terms of diet?
Meat is inflammatory. Even the very best acid-based from a regenerative farm. I mean, watch Game Changers. You know, it does something to the microcirculation. It doesn't mean like you can't ever eat it, and it's not a religious thing. But if you want to know what it's doing in your body, and then there are studies to show that people that go vegan can actually click off their gene for cancer. For breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colon cancer in 3 months. 3 months.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
what's your take, Jeremy? When you hear this, Jeremy, does that ring to you? What's your take? Is Gail saying that? What's your take?
But let me finish, because it depends on your health situation. You know, I'm not saying that nobody should never eat meat. I'm saying, you know, if you need to clean up your act for one reason or another, or you have risk or this or that, then you need to take it into account. Or if you have an inflammatory situation going on in your body, then it's a way to reduce inflammation. So.
Right. Yeah, my take is like I view it in like two stages for folks. I mean, there's certain folks like there's traditionally, you know, there's the food is medicine. Like you've been diagnosed with something medically, you may need to make a radical shift. You do it. That's where, you know, the veganism, macrobiotics, things like that, even Ayurveda, that's where that comes in.
Yeah.
But what I tend to find is that I feel like, you know, the general public will take a comment and they take it to an extreme. And they'll take it and they'll run with it and they'll stop listening to themselves at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, so they'll just be like, it's either this diet or nothing. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. You can kind of make it yours based upon how you feel. You know, I had a friend, you know, he had a medical issue, went to veganism, got better, but then continued on it and then ended up having medical issues from that. So who knows what was underlying it. And again, and I think sometimes, again, you got to look at where we're coming from is like,
well, if
you don't
get vegan foods right, you're going to have problems.
Exactly.
You know,
you have to have
the right amino acids. And vegan foods can be comfort food too, so you know there's lots of ways to do things.
There's room for everything,
and you know
My end on both of it is, you know, whether you're a meat eater or a vegan. I think the bigger question that I come up with lately is, and I like this is. You know, you're going to do what you're going to do, and I believe we need to have more balance. I believe we're definitely too much meat-driven. The industry is too crazy, you know, the meat packing industry, whatever. But we need that balance, and I think that, you know, there's a certain level I think vegans and meat eaters have to weigh in on, like, am I eating stuff that's actually good for me? How is it being processed, you know, because there's meats that are being
morally
processed.
But it's also about what's good for the planet. You know, what's good for
Well, that's what I mean, and that's what I'm saying, too, because, you know, a lot of these, you know, I get, like, certain vegan you know, you look at vegan cheeses, and that, there's more stuff in those than anything that you could, you know, I don't even understand the label at a certain point, you know. Let's
well,
just
actually,
skip
there's
the cheese.
Really, there's really good ones, too, you know.
No, there are, but you see, like, now, I guess that's my thing, and now with the labeling and stuff, people just kind of jump in, and they're not listening
really
to where they're at.
Oh, there's really crappy vegan food.
You know what I mean? And it's like, my always thing is for people to make shifts. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and they're like, well, how can diet relieve stress and anxiety? I'm like, well, the first step is just stop eating processed foods. And I can guarantee you're going to feel differently.
Yeah. Jeremy, I can add one thing. Don't leave out the sauce.
No, never.
You know.
Well, and that's the, you know, the other thing with these diets sometimes. Exactly. Well, you know, and the other thing is I remember healthy food years ago when I first was in culinary school, and we went to the nutrition course, and it was the people in the lab coats, and we'd come up with a recipe, and you'd put it into the old archaic huge monitor computers, and it would spit it out telling you there's too much oil, too much this, and you'd plop it back in, and eventually it would give you this recipe that was dietarily perfect, but soulless and tasteless beyond belief. And you look at where healthy food's going now is, you know, it's about, like, it's not about sacrifice always, you know. It's this whole idea of, like, oh, I'm eating healthy, I've got to not really like the taste, feel like I'm getting something up. Like, dude, therefore, a sustainable way to live the rest of my life. Never.
Jeremy Rock Smith.
Now that fat is good, you know, we can make it. What is the Dolly Dog?
I want to thank Jeremy Rock Smith, Sherry Marquez, the Dog Mystic, Dr. Gail Randall, Lisa LaRose. Jeremy, I'm so psyched to meet you on next Thursday and sit down with you and do some amazing work with you and bring this big message. Thank you deeply. Eli's Precious and Joy on Blood Brooks. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Chris.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.